live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Ditch Liqueur. It's a band called Ditch Liquor. That sounds a lot like a euphemism for something. I'm just saying.
Ditch Liqueur is fresh.
Ditch Liquor.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Or out of the ditch, as it were. Thanks for coming by. I'll be here all week. Probably. Hey, it's 2 minutes and 51 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of February, the year of our Lord, 2004. It's a Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, where we... Are we still going to be in downtown Oregon? Where are we going to say that we are?
We're not on the waterfront.
On the waterfront. That's excellent.
On the waterfront.
All right. There you go. So we're in downtown Portland for the remainder of this week, after which we'll be on the waterfront near the glistening hub of humanity that is the Spaghetti Factory.
Well, the story seeps into the river when it rains too much.
Yes. Along with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, we're here. Along coming up... Later this hour, coming up along about 12:30, we've got CNN radio correspondent John Bisney on Capitol Hill, who's going to talk to us about our immolating friend Howard Dean, who's got, I think, what we might just now as well call Lieberman disease, who just won't... I mean, I'm all for Howard Dean fighting a good fight and all, but I mean, it's over, man. It's not even about the final nail in the coffin. The coffin is nailed. The coffin's buried. It's now just like your drunken Uncle Ernie standing there, flicking cigarette ashes on the ground, talking about how he never liked you anyway. I mean, it's... You're finished, my friend. Which is regrettable and all, but it's also true. So we'll talk to John Bisney about that later on this hour. Coming up on the second hour of the show, How Chicks Think, with Jolie from the front desk, and another exciting edition of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. And I know that in the wake of Wing and in the wake of a pack of mentally enfeebled children crooning the hit singles from Dirty Dancing, it might seem like we're setting the bar higher and higher and more difficult to patch. I assure you, today's song is up to the challenge. Today's song is flat out awful. It's terrible. It's terrible in every conceivable and possible sense. So we'll get to that in the second hour. It's the worst song you've ever heard, coming up in the second hour of the show. Third hour, Clyde Lewis will be here with News at Ground Zero. And today's top five, in honor of our upcoming move down to the waterfront, we've got the top five songs with move or moving in the title. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from your personal savior, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I've been traffic through Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a game like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's a radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
He's not having it. The radio
gangster.
Yeah.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And we set out with this piece of breaking news. A judge in San Francisco is delaying until at least Friday a ruling on whether to block the city from continuing to issue same-sex marriage licenses. This is the first of two hearings scheduled for today.
Well, they've already put out, like,
1,700 of them or something?
Oh, much, I think so, like closer to 2,700, I believe.
I look forward to open violence in the streets later on. I think this may be finally, you know, our chance to be rid of California once and for all. I think open civil warfare and bloody strife may take over the streets of California. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
And, of course, here's the daily tragedy in St. John's. A man fell off the St. John's Bridge 25 feet. Rescue workers were called in to help a man who apparently slipped and fell onto a platform on the bridge this morning. The man's part of a painting crew that was inspecting the bridge before starting to work. After he fell, he just called 911. Had a little trouble finding the man, but with the help of the rest of the painting crew, they located him. They cut a hole through a plywood enclosure on the bridge so they could get him out. So they're doing a good job painting it, anyway.
By the way, we want to take this opportunity to, as the kids say, give big ups to the Rick Emerson Geek Squad, who sort of coalesced online to fix the internet stream for this very fine radio program. We just got this from Amanda in Memphis, Tennessee. Amanda says, hey, thanks for bringing the stream back. Thanks to the geeks also, Amanda in Memphis. So find out more about that if you know somebody who's been unable. Because we had that whole thing with the SurferNet stream where it was just getting hammered by like 9 million people trying to listen. It sort of had to be expanded out. So there's we've sort of buttressed it. And so you can find out more at rickemerson.com. You should go to rickemerson.com and click on Listen Live, and it's all right there. Here's Tim Riley.
And in this ever-changing world, it's important to go there at least once a day. And, of course, you can check this reporter's column also.
That's right.
It changes daily.
Little banner on the left-hand side links you to Tim Riley's City News Desk blog.
Anyway, I don't know if you heard about the story yesterday about that crazy woman from Texas. She was trying to get to the coup, and instead drove to Vancouver, B.C., was on the way. So she gets stopped at the border, and they found a hand grenade in the glove compartment. Of course, it belonged to her husband, who was stationed at Fort Lewis. She was finally released last night after given a good going over by the FBI and other federal agents. So we have no idea if she's on the way to the coup or not, but please make room for her and show her the way in. We don't ever name her anything. Time for the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch for Tuesday. Kind of in charge. I'm going to miss this theme. That's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame when you're president. Everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that name? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's on my own. That's my
Bush. Well, listen to this. It started yesterday, apparently by Moby. He says that George Bush drove an ex-girlfriend to an abortion clinic and paid for her to get an abortion back in the early 70s. And now the incorrigible Larry Flint says he plans to market that Bush abortion story as genuine in a book to be published in the summer by Kensington Press. This story has got to come out, says the wheelchair-bound Hustler magazine honcho. It's a lot of hypocrisy in the White House about this whole abortion issue. Flint and the Bush arranged with a procedure in the early 1970s. I've talked to the woman's friend, said Flint. We tracked down the doctor who did the abortion. I tracked down the Bush people who arranged for the abortion. I've got the story nailed. He won't disclose whether or not he plans to name the woman.
I love Larry Flint. You know, here's the thing. It's like you may not like Larry Flint personally. If you're a woman or a Christian or something, you may find what Larry Flint does to be repugnant. But you know what? I'm sure glad that guy's around because there's a lot of stuff down. You know what it is? It's somebody described Larry Flint one time as being a real bottom feeder. They said he survived at the very lowest rung of humanity.
He's the Pappy you can in the porn.
And Larry, he's... Well, they somebody said that he lived at the very bottom of American morality, and this is when he found this is when he shoved what's his name out of, you know, because we went during the Clinton witch hunt. There was his name is already escaping. Who's the guy that was going to be Speaker of the House?
Newt Gingrich.
No, it wasn't Newt Gingrich. It was the guy that was in line to be Speaker,
yeah.
And he dug up the fact that he was boning some chick. His name is already escaping. He's already faded from my memory.
I can't think of it either.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know
about
who you're talking about, yeah.
Well, it's blown the whole joke. But somebody said that Larry Flint Somebody said that Larry Flint was a bottom feeder, and his response was, yeah, but look what I find when I'm down there. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, you gotta give it up to that guy. We sort of, you know, sort of live in a pornocracy here in America, and Larry Flint's the head of it. So there's a guy who has absolutely no compunction about getting down wrist deep in the muck, so you gotta give it up for that guy.
Look, W is becoming the new Bob Hope. By frequent appearances at military bases, the president has found appreciative audiences where saber rattling phrases play well. Today's appearance is at Fort Polk in Louisiana.
This country and our military will never be intimidated by a bunch of thugs and assassins.
We'll get back to more thugs and assassins in just a minute. But first, the president has plenty of resolve.
My resolve is the same as it was on the day when I walked in the rubble of the Twin Towers. I will not relent until this threat to America is removed.
Here's some new information on Saddam.
He waged aggressive wars against neighboring countries and aspired to dominate the Middle East. He cultivated ties to terrorists. He built weapons of mass destruction.
Okay.
Wasn't this stuff true?
Is this a best of? Am I not really
today?
Am I not really here today?
This was given to him by Karl Rove to read.
Am I at home having some kind of fever dream and I'm just hallucinating today's show and this is a best of? I swear to God, this is all...
That's all brand spanking new.
Are you sure that in the computer transfer we're not just inadvertently playing sound clips from 18 months ago? Because it sounds a whole lot like we're just playing stuff that we've already heard before and that we know isn't... Strictly speaking, true.
It doesn't matter on a military base.
I love the notion that somehow aspiring to dominate the Middle East. We aspire to dominate the Middle East, and we can't even do it. You know what I mean? I'm aspiring to have sex with Lauren Graham. It doesn't mean it's happening. It doesn't mean it's ever going to happen.
We get our might from a higher power.
Freedom is not America's gift to the world. Freedom is the Almighty God's gift to every man and woman in this world.
Unless you live in San Francisco.
Don't forget about freedom.
Now and in the future, this great republic will lead the cause of freedom and peace. May God bless you all. And may God continue to bless our country.
Just like Bob Hope Show, let's bring out Carol Lombard and Martha Ray.
Gina Lola Brigida will be out any second now. Excellent.
That's today's Bushwatch.
He's
the president, resident, he's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Yeah, it'd be too bad if November came and I had to get rid of the Bushwatch. That's the good news, bad news there. Because there's not going to be anything that's good enough. There's no theme for Kerry, not that Kerry's probably going to be able to do it, but I mean, on the off chance that it happens, there's no theme I'm going to be able to use for him that's nearly as interesting.
Meanwhile, Colin Powell has asked, why not turn over power to the Iraqis on June 30th with a caucus like they have in Iowa?
The debates goes around the issue of a caucus. Is the caucus still the best way to do it, or can the caucus process be refined or modified in some way? Or is there some other procedure that might be used to reflect the will of the Iraqi people?
Maybe they can send Howard Dean over there. Maybe he can win a caucus in Iraq.
Well, that could be, too. Say, since we're moving bad guys around the world, like Saddam and people who are murderous thugs, why not go to Haiti and remove their murderous thug?
We have put forward with the United Nations and with CARICOM and the OAS a good plan that we believe both sides should take to heart and stop the violence on both sides and move forward to find a political solution to this crisis.
Oh, so it's different this time.
Well, and by the way, for those of you that were paying attention about 15 minutes ago, we don't actually have it on tape. We'll rustle it up later. But CNN News at the top of the hour, moments ago, because didn't Bush just in the Bushwatch talk about going to Iraq and taking away thugs?
Yeah.
Right at the top of the hour, they had a quote from Colin Powell on CNN saying that we weren't going to go to Haiti because our forces weren't best served by being used to remove thugs, you know, from Haiti. So
let's hear the Bush comment again.
This country and our military will never be intimidated by a bunch of thugs and assassins.
Like in Haiti.
Unless they're in a country that won't power our,
oil.
I mean, I'm just saying. All right, it's Tim Riley.
What comes from Haiti? Like ceramic ash? Crazy
cockroaches. I don't know. Cockroaches and house cleaners. I mean, that's it. That's all. I'm not trying to be flip. I'm just like, who else? What? Haiti doesn't produce anything, do they? Just voodoo. That's all, man. They just produce chicken blood voodoo curses. That's all Haiti produces. It's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. What do you want from my life? They don't make anything. Someone call me right now and tell me what Haiti produces other than, you know.
I think
other than people that worship small white rocks. That's it, man.
Coconuts?
They don't produce coconuts.
I think there are coconuts on Haiti.
You're thinking of Hawaii. Hawaii and Haiti. I know they both start with an H and end with an I. They're not the same place, though.
There's not one coconut on Haiti. Somebody must have gone to Haiti before.
Well, there may be coconuts on Haiti, but it seems like anything good on Haiti, you know, it vanishes pretty quick. Because in Haiti, in the DR, it's one place, right? It's the split sides of the island. And I know the DR is not exactly like the Dominican Republic's not really the land of Canaan either. A good friend of mine lived in he did his mission there, and he was in the Dominican Republic for like 2 years. It was like
Dominican Republic, at least, you know, produces a lot of nice cigars.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So there's that. So it's basically Cuba, which is not really a place people are clamoring to sneak into. I'm not trying to be down on Haitians.
It's Cuba without the old Chevrolets.
Many of my best friends are Haitians. That's a lie. None of my friends are Haitians.
I don't know one Haitian.
I don't have one friend who's a Haitian. I got growing up, my best friend's mom growing up was Haitian. And just a weird little woman. Just a nutcase. But, yeah, I don't know anything about Haiti. I don't know what comes from there. He's not from Haiti. He's just pulling your lariat. This guy claims he's from Haiti. All right, hold on. Let's see. Steve, you're on a cell phone. Are you claiming you're from Haiti?
No, I'm not from Haiti. I just I know that they make really good rum.
Oh, not from Haiti. Rum.
No.
Haiti.
Yeah,
okay.
They make okay. Yeah, no, they make rum there.
Okay,
I think is the only thing that they actually make is rum.
So the next time somebody's getting whacked on Captain Morgan's, they should thank the good people of Haiti.
That would be correct.
All right, excellent. There you go. That's
this
Steve.
This program is so educational some days.
Okay, so there you go. It's not just voodoo. They also make booze as well. What was I thinking? It's a tremendously important country. I'm not trying to bust on Haiti. I'm just saying, you know. Seems like there's a finite amount of impact they have on the world. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. We will continue. Here's your friends, the Dropkick Murphys.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You know, Captain Morgan preferred a spicy rum to go with his spicy life.
Captain Morgan's Puerto Rican rum.
Oh. Well,
good try, though.
Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I don't want to have the Haitian Defense League call me and be all up in arms. I'm trying to learn about your people to whatever extent that's possible. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All I know is the people from Haiti have some weird effed up accent. It's like some bizarre Haitian French English thing. Can't be understood by anyone. Let's see, a full-time listener.
Try that again.
A full-time listener. The name of all the Tolly. Should I just make the full-time listener noise myself? Sarah, make the full-time listener noise for me. Thank you. Excellent. James, you're on Hot Talk Tonight. KFTK, what's up?
Hey, the top two exports of Haiti are that which you can drink, including gin and rum, and that which you can smoke, which is, of course, tobacco and pot.
So they're a... Well, that's good. So they really should be our ally then, because it's they're a chemically abusive people, which I'm fine with. Okay, we've got this. Hey, they also produce coffee. Okay, well they're on the list then. Mangoes, sugarcane, rice, corn, sorghum, and wood. That's great. You know, wood is a funny word. Am I the only one who laughs when I see that sign that says I heart wood? Come on, that's funny. It's like you go to Pasta Works, if you're me, and they got that big sign behind the counter just says I heart meat. I mean, it's brilliant. You go in there to buy your half a pound of bacon, and it's like right there, and the guy's wrapping it up in the I heart meat thing. There's just nothing funnier than that. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955, because I do indeed heart meat. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Dick Juliana. How are you, my friend?
Very well. Good afternoon to you, Rick.
Do you like bacon?
I love bacon, yeah.
See, bacon, I was thinking about this the other day. I believe that bacon is, in fact, the greatest food on earth.
I had the best bacon recently. It was the maple cured or maple flavored, and yeah, it was just real cool.
I had never had applewood smoked bacon until recently, and someone tipped us off. They said if you like bacon, and it was like actually the guy who sliced was the butcher, and I was getting some pepper bacon. He's like, no, you ought to try the applewood.
Uh-huh.
I said, what's that? Explained it. Sliced us off like quarter pound of applewood bacon, and it's one of those foods you almost just want to kill yourself afterwards because nothing will ever top that. It's just
right.
The best.
It's one of the great foods that they're telling us not to eat.
Yeah, but I'd rather live with bacon for 20 years than live without bacon for 40. It's like, what's the point? In fact, Maxim magazine, I think it's Maxim, they have the greatest feature they do. Okay, it's called the bacon meter, and they tell you how bad various foods are for you by equating it to how many strips of bacon you'd have to eat to equal that. So like a hot fudge sundae equals like 49 strips of bacon or something. It's fantastic. Hey, let's talk about Wisconsin. See, if I was a more skilled and trained broadcaster, if I wasn't just a monkey with a microphone, I'd be able to make the segue. That's why you're working at CNN.
You're right.
You're at CNN, and I'm here at the Kurdish faction of the Entercom broadcast family. Anyway, so the Wisconsin primary is coming right down, and is that I'm confused about whether or not Dean's going to stay in when he gets walloped.
Well, clearly, Dean said that Wisconsin was his last stand. He's since gone back on that and said that he's determined to stay in the race. And the situation in Wisconsin, Rick, is that John Kerry is leading in the polls. He's holding a commanding lead. And by all counts, he's going to do what he's done in all these other primaries, and that's win it and win it big. And so everyone would presume that after, 17 losses, it's time for the former Vermont governor to step aside because the Democratic Party doesn't want him continuing to beat up on the man who now appears to be in the commanding position to get the nomination, John Kerry.
Now let's talk about Edwards for a moment because I haven't heard anybody else really talk about this, but when I watch Edwards, it's, how do I put this? He's creepy, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it's unnerving when you watch Edwards talk because it's like, if he didn't seem so confident, you'd think he was just locked in some form of delirium where he apparently, he never speaks as though he's a guy who's lost almost every vote so
well,
far.
You know, I don't know. If he's speaking with confidence, Rick, in a way he deserves it because he really has caught on among a faction of voters in this country like no candidate that I have seen in recent memory. Consider the fact that John Edwards just really got to the United States Senate just a few years ago.
He's a first-termer.
He's in his first term. He's a new guy, and yet a lot of people are looking on him with favor, and he has a very good shot at becoming the vice president on the vice presidential running mate to John Kerry. But at this point, he continues to challenge Kerry and believes that he can at least top the ticket, and he is carrying on. But really, his star is really on the rise. He's a young guy. Voters seem to like him, at least a segment of the voters like him, not based on any record or experience, but just because he is who he is. John Edwards, a guy born in South Carolina, of parents who worked in the factories, who became a high-priced lawyer and rose to the United States Senate, and he's regarded as a very, very tough campaigner.
Well, you watch Edwards speak, and it's almost disorientating to watch. No, if only disorientating? Disorientating.
Well, what's
correct there?
I tend to agree with you. I don't really see, a great deal of substance. He's a good stump speaker, but, there's not a lot to fall back on. I mean, with a Kerry, you look at the war record, you look at the years in the Senate, and you can make a judgment one way or the other. But with Edwards, a lot of people are wondering, what flavor is it exactly? Where is the guy coming from? But clearly he's caught on with a lot of people. A lot of people like him.
And when you watch him speak, it's like he's doing the Jedi mind trick on you. I'm a pretty savvy guy, and I'm sitting there on the sofa, and it's, you feel his hands coming out of the television and molding your brain. I mean, it really is pretty unnerving. And he speaks with such confidence and assurance. It's either that he's psychotic and living in a state of absolute denial, or Jesus appeared in the bedroom and said, no, John, don't worry about it. You're a lock. You're going to win, because he speaks with absolute confidence, absolute certainty and assurance, which I think is why
and also
people like him so much.
He's a young guy. Imagine if Kerry gets the nomination, he could be on the vice presidential ticket. That would set him up for another run for
absolutely.
The White House. He's just introducing himself to the United States.
All right, there you go. There's CNN radio correspondent Dick Giuliano. Excellent. Yeah, you watch Edward speak, man, and it's just creepy. I mean, I'm going to win. You're going to win. I want mano a mano with Kerry, and I'll take him down. You'll take him down. You know, you have absolutely no all glory to the hypno toad. You just have no. Anyway, here's Tim Riley at the KTK Newsroom.
Well, it could be sour grapes, but John Kerry wish he appeared at that NASCAR race like the president.
We don't need a president who just says, gentlemen, start your engines. We need a president who says, America, let's start our economy and put people back to work.
Okay. It's bad when I can see it coming a mile away. When the guy, we don't need starting, and I mean, start the engine of the economy. And there it was, start the engine of the economy. That's the thing about Kerry. Well, I think you said this off the air, but when we were coming on. The thing about Kerry is, Kerry's sort of the bland, unthreatening sitcom of American politics. Well, it's like Likas made a really, really brilliant point yesterday, something I've said a lot. Likas talking about Friends. And he said, you know, Friends is a lot of things. Friends is popular, and it's comfortable, and it's easy to watch, but it's not funny. I mean, it gets labeled a comedy, but it's not. He was, you know, a very good point that Friends is a soap opera. It's not a comedy. I've never laughed once watching Friends. And that's what Kerry is. It's not really exciting, not really thrilling. He's just a big drink of warm water, not unlike Kevin Costner. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Well, let's have a penis watch.
Here's your penis watch.
My troubles start a-melting away.
Down.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
And
everything is going my way.
A man dies after chopping off his own penis. A man whose name will only give us Kennedy recently decided to put an end to his life by cutting off his penis. He's 35, a native of the NG village of Gusang Badibo, and it's a subdivision of the Northwest Province.
Yeah.
Where is... Oh, this is in Cameroon, of course. Take out your Cameroon map and follow along. A co-tenant of the deceased said Kennedy came visiting from Dubanishka in the Southwest Province, where he was a farmer. Since he was looking frail, apparently suffering from a chronic cough, he decided to take a temporary residence with his younger brother in Gusang. One night, the source said, Kennedy became restless and noisy. We overheard him in our room telling his younger brother's wife, whose husband wasn't around, that if he dies, the entire family will suffer. Feeling bored with the consistent declarations from Kennedy, younger brother's wife decided to move to a nearby kitchen around 4 a.m. to keep herself warm beside the fireplace. In her absence, Kennedy reached out for a razor blade and sneaked out into a pit latrine where he amputated his manhood. When he emerged from the toilet, he screamed once, holding the other half of his manhood in his palm. Said he made the job, said a source. Before he died, Kennedy told his father how his friend from Feshi Village, still in Batubo, lured him...
Are you just making these place names up?
Well, these are places in Cameroon.
Okay.
So, the father from Feshi Village, still in Batubo, lured him into the occult society in Dubanishka. Yeah.
Okay.
Considering the act is highly sacrilegious. I almost finished this, too. Ritual rites were performed both in Angie and Gusang before the mortal remains of Kennedy were buried in Dubanishka.
Phew. That's your penis watch. We'll be back. There was a penis story in there somewhere, but not really sure where. More on the way. Stay there.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay, Sarah Dillon's got this, the traffic.
Got an opinion? Fax it to Rick at 503-227-3938. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget, coming up this Thursday, we're going to be creating the brand new Rick Emerson house drink. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be here this Thursday. We're going to be creating a brand new drink from scratch. No one knows yet what it shall be called or what shall be in it. But we're going to create it this Thursday. This is our last week in this building, so Friday, I don't know what's happening Friday. We got like 4 cases of beer, 2 bottles of wine, and a bottle of coconut liqueur under my desk, and I think we're going to try to consume all of that on Friday. So that'll be fun. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. So while talking about John Edwards, I use the phrase disorientating. Tony emails and he says, quote, "It's disorienting, dumbass. Disorientating is for Greshamites." Tony in Portland, P.S. F. Matt with the talents, poor grammar.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Now, the funny and ironic part here is the subject line of the email is enunciation lessons, and he's completely misspelled enunciation. So that happens to be all the time.
Lessons, not spelling lessons.
I'm just saying a guy who seems like he has a little, you know, a bit of a shaky background on how you put words together in the English language. I don't really know that that's a guy who I want lecturing me about my grammar. You know? So, it's a little karmic wheel coming around on you there, Tony. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, because you asked for it, the complete first season of Gilligan's Island is now available on DVD.
There's only 2 seasons, isn't there? There's only 2 to begin with.
Uh-huh.
The complete first season. Just put it on the box.
Whet your appetite.
Just be done with for the jillions. Because it's only on 700 times a day.
Some people have never seen it.
Yeah, but I think Sarah may officially be the only person we know who falls into that category.
Into what category?
That's never seen Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
How is that even possible, though? I mean, I know we've talked about this before. So I don't just sit and re-dredge this up again, but did you see it on television and just sort of flip by it?
Or Yeah.
I mean, when you were young, you didn't sit and watch. When
no,
you're a
I
kid,
never
you
watched
just...
it. All my dad would watch was MASH or the news. That's
yeah.
all we'd watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's dad just watched MASH or the news. It's not. I got news. It's not just you. It's everybody's dad. MASH news and then Hee Haw on Sundays. That's it. But it seems like just by, you know, like my friend Charlie has this theory that every day you hear Hotel California somewhere. Doesn't matter where. In a car next to you in traffic, in the store, on a radio, you're flipping by. Every day, somewhere, you're exposed to Hotel California. I think that's what it is with Gilligan's Island, man. It's like, how can you go a week in this country and not see that somewhere? It's just freaky. What else have you never seen, I wonder? Gilligan's Island, have you ever watched an episode of Leave It to Beaver?
Yes, I think I have a long time ago, like in Nick at Night.
Have you ever watched an episode of HR Puff and Stuff?
No.
Do you even know what that is?
I have no idea.
Just kill me now. Just friggin' kill me.
Anyway, Don Wells, who played Marianne, said the Gilligan's Island DVD includes a lot of extras for fan faithfuls.
The DVD is quite special. It's the first 36 episodes. It's in black and white. We have interviews with Sherwood Schwartz, our creator, talking about the show and how difficult it was to get it on the air. We have home movies of mine that I shot while I was there. We have little sort of retrospectives on the people. It sort of personalizes everything that we've been watching on television. It brings it home, making you part of the history of the show.
Did anybody go to see her when she was here? She was here pimping that Marianne's cookbook a while back. Anybody go to see? Went to see Don Wells, I didn't find out of it until afterwards. Because I've said many times openly that I would completely have sex with Don Wells at this point. And she's like 80. But if she still looks good, though. She's got those great legs. So it's like, I don't know if that's just television trickery, though. If anybody saw her recently, just let a brother know if she's still all that.
Well, she says she still gets recognized to this day as Marianne.
Well, as opposed to being recognized as who?
It's amazing to me. You know, I can't go any place in the world that somebody doesn't come up and remark about it or recognize Marianne. And I think it's because it's a universal message. Get along with your neighbor, you know, 7 different people trying to survive together. And I think it's easily translatable. It's also not dated. It's quite a remarkable show and quite a remarkable thing for Sherwood Schwartz to have created, I think.
Now, see, second season for Queer Eye of the Straight Guy. Members Jay and Tom say they're completely shocked by its success.
The way the show was pitched, I know each of us is a bit very different than the actual outcome. I know I thought it was supposed to be 2 weeks a month and a little teeny tiny makeover show on a cable network.
I think we had hoped that it would, you know, have sort of a niche audience on this cable show, Bravo, that no one really knew of. But the fact that it became sort of this, you know, national phenomenon right out of the gate, that was really the ultimate surprise
right.
for us.
Right.
I don't believe that's Tom. I think that's Cayenne they're talking to there. I believe it's
Jay.
Might be
wrong.
Not that I know. Not that I watch the show to the extent that I should.
I'm I'm just going by the copy.
No, here's the thing. Have you ever watched? I mean, I'll be completely honest, man. It's like I'm at Powell's the other day. I'm sitting there, and you know, you walk at the Powell's on Hawthorne. You walk in, and they've got that big. Well, I guess they got this downtown too, but they got the big table right as you walk inside of books that they're sort of really pimping that month, right? So I walk in. And there's, you know, all the red, like the 9 million George W. Bush bashing books. And then right next to it is like the Queer Eye Guide. So what do I do? Just being a complete stupid bunny American consumer, open to start flipping through. But there's this guy on the show. There's Ted, who's like the wine guy. And then there's whoever. And then there's, watch this, there's Carson, who's the fashion guy. But there's this guy, and I think he's the, what does he kind of do? He's like the grooming guy or something. Anyway, you watch the show. And so it's like, about 2-3 months ago, we're sitting in the apartment watching. It's me, Laura, and this other couple we know. And we're sitting there on the couch, and they'd never seen the show before, so we're watching. And this guy, Kyan, comes in the screen, and immediately both of the girls just swoon. I mean, you always hear about people swooning, and you don't really know what it looks like. It's like having a conniption. You know, you hear about it, you don't really know what it is. You don't really know what swooning is till that guy gets on the screen, and it's like they did everything but break out into a sweat right now in the living room. It's just one of those things that makes you, you know, that you should ought to go kill yourself, because you're just never going to measure up to that. It's just depressing.
There's Carson and Kyan, who say they stay in touch with many of the makeover subjects featured on the television show.
A lot of them are actually, you know, maintained after, you know, certainly before we work with them, we don't know anything about them. But through the process of doing the show, we actually become friends with a lot of the guys. And,
right. You
know, we'll see them, out, or they'll invite us to, like, you know, holiday parties or whatever. So we do have some contact with them.
Yeah, I actually, we get emails from them often.
Yeah. Also on TV tonight, American Idol, 8 more of the 32 semifinalists. That's on Fox at 8. Then we have Urban Cowboy with John Travolta and Deborah Winger.
Suburban Cowboy. Suburban. I was going to say, not that we don't have Suburban Cowboys here as well.
That's on AMC at 8. Immediately followed by Smokey and the Bandit 2. I have no idea how that
is. Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Is that better than 1 or 3?
Smokey and the Bandit 2 is the one where they got to get the elephant across country in the back of the truck. It's Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, blah, 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 blah. It's not nearly as good as Smokey and the Bandit. And I believe Smokey and the Bandit 2 is the one that's got that sequence where there's a cliff. And then the bandit, you know, Burt Reynolds has to get across the cliff. And so what happens, I'll ruin the whole movie for you. So at the end, Jerry Reed calls all his trucking buddies, and they line up a bunch of semis right next to each other, like 15 across, creating a temporary bridge so that the bandit can drive over the cliff sort of Wile E. Coyote style. Then, of course, Jackie Gleason, you know, who's the sheriff, you know, who's the Smokey, tries to follow him. The trucks all pull away, and then wackiness and car crashes ensue. There, you don't need to watch it. It's the entire thing.
And Michael J. Fox stars as Dr. Kevin Casey, a visiting super doc with obsessive compulsive disorder, on Scrubs. Michael talks about the doctor he plays on the show.
I'm a visiting doctor. He's an internist and a surgeon. He's like a double threat. He's a big deal doctor from another hospital. And he's got OCD, so he's got a lot of quirks. He's pretty weird. And he just kind of gets everybody's attention and captures their imagination and kind of screws up their life in a way because he's just so intimidating and strange and, I think, you know, just unusual.
You know, it makes me feel guilty that every time I see Michael J. Fox on television, I look really closely to see if he's twitching. You know what I mean? Look, and I'm not trying to make fun, but you do it too. You do it too.
Everybody
when you
does.
See, I'm Michael J. Fox. I'd like to talk to you about the Parkinson's Foundation, and it's like you're looking going, I think I see a tremor. I think his left eyelid is wobbling.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're totally, you look really hard trying to see if he's jerking around Hepburn style. You know you do. I mean, I feel bad. You don't want to do it, but it's like it's totally human nature.
Well, let's not beat around the bush then and ask him, how's that Parkinson's disease going there, Michael? Have you found a cure yet?
We put about $35 million into research over the last 3 years. And, you know, it's looking good. I mean, they know where they want to go with it. They know that there are a lot of areas that are really promising. And that our whole aim is just keep the ball rolling and keep people aware of it and realizing that it's attainable, that these aren't pie-in-the-sky things, that you know, one day, 50 years from now, you know, a cure falls out of the sky. It's something that we can work for now and accomplish.
Too bad there's no oil in Michael J. Fox. We'd have it solved already. Let's talk about that Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm talking about? That ad with Muhammad Ali and his daughter?
With Layla? The one I was telling you about.
Okay. I mean, I finally saw that because everybody's all talking about it and whatnot. That's a creepy freaking ad.
That's a great ad.
As somebody, I forget who it was, but as somebody noted this to me. They said that the sort of subtext of the ad is Muhammad Ali saying, please buy these Adidas shoes or my daughter won't quit hitting me. I mean, that's kind of what the, that's really sort of what it is. Because he's got the full-on deal, right? He's got Parkinson's. Is that what he has? Parkinson's or
right. Yeah.
Something, or MS or something. He doesn't have, Richard Pryor has MS. He has he can't move or talk. And so seeing a commercial where he's being walloped by a woman who's one-third his size, I mean, it just seems a little tasteless. It just seems like one of those ads that really, strictly speaking, didn't need to exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I take that a whole different way. I look at that, that's a great ad.
That'd be a great ad if he wasn't, you know, crippled. I mean,
well, in the ad, he's not. It's like an old fight that they've taken and CGI'd her into.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me projecting the worst onto everything, but I find it distinctly unnerving when I watch it.
All right, that's true. Yeah, let's move on. Oh, you know what? Cubs won't be seen tonight. You won't see Michael J. Fox because the Blazers are on.
Woo!
Yeah, that's an irreplaceable opportunity.
So here's a good idea. The British always come up with things for Americans to copy, and here's another one. A website's been set up in Britain to help people find drinking buddies. It's drinkingbuddies.co.uk.
They already have those places. They're called bars.
Well, this is the brainchild of Mark Payne, who moved to a new place and couldn't find anyone to drink with. All my friends were 50 miles away, and it was difficult to go to a pub and start talking to people. So he started this, and he's met quite a few lovely ladies, he said. About a dozen so far.
How hard can it be to find drinking buddies? You just go into a bar and... There you go. I mean, every time I go into a bar, man, it's like whether you want to or not, there's some guy that comes on up and just immediately wants to be your best pal. You know what I'm talking about. You're just sitting there and, hey, let me talk to you about my ex-wife.
You probably think I'm drunk, don't you? No, not at all.
So I says to her, I'm not going to give you any alimony. You know, and you're on the chair just like, leave me alone. It's not all that hard to find drinking pals. Maybe you can only find drinking pals if you're the one guy who's not drinking. Because then they all find you, you know? All right. More on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. We'll be back. Talk to Nettie KFTK.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey. From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, Jim Riley with the news, brought to you by Rasmussen BMW. For the best deal on the BMW, visit Portland's premier BMW store, Rasmussen BMW on Southwest Jefferson at 20th, or on the web at RasmussenBMW.com. The deadliest stretch of highway in Oregon is 26 on the way to Mount Hood. OSP says 13 people died last year on that 30-mile stretch of Highway 26 between Sandy and Government Camp. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office is getting a free building for the federal government. But the one-story concrete building will require some fixing up. Cost about $65,000 to do that. Mortgage brokers and bankers in the Portland area say the home refinancing market is slowing down. That means layoffs at brokerages and related businesses that process home loans. The drop in new refinance applications is down by 60% or more. Rain getting heavier this afternoon. Highs in the 50s. Heavy rain tonight. Lows in the mid-30s. Sunshine by Thursday. Tim Riley, KOTK News.